We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This is Alvin Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay tuned as we bring you today's Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America.
Still press along, for I made the right change. I'll not go astray, for Christ is now leading me safe on my way.
And I'm glad I served one.
I'm glad I served one
that never changes.
That never changes, for He is the way. The truth and the life.
Oh, He washed my soul.
Oh, He washed my soul
from sin that stained it.
From sin that stained it. Now I'm headed for heaven.
I'm headed for heaven
and eternal life. Some people may change as they go along, not thinking of Christ and living so wrong. Oh, may they stop now and call on His name. For Christ never changes, He's always the same.
I'm glad I served one.
I'm glad I served one
that never changes.
That never changes, for He is the way.
For He is the way,
the truth and the life.
Oh, He washed my soul.
Oh, He washed my soul
from sin that stained it.
From sin that stained it. Now I'm headed for heaven.
I'm headed for heaven.
Eternal life.
And I'm glad I served one.
I'm glad I served one
that never changes.
That never changes, for He is the way.
For He is the way,
the truth and the life.
Oh, He washed my soul.
Oh, He washed my soul
from sin that stained it.
From sin stained it. Now I'm headed for heaven.
I'm headed for heaven
and eternal life.
I'm glad I serve one who never changes. Bill Quartet from the congregation of DeVille, Louisiana. We trust that that was a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that we have the privilege of being children of God, and we have the privilege of worshiping Thee, the true and the living God, and this is our sincere desire. We thank You for our congregation today. We're trusting that wherever there is a precious soul in our congregation today, You'll bless them. You know them. We know that You love them. We know that You care for them. We know that You are concerned for those things that concern them. So minister to our congregation. Use this broadcast to be a blessing to souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast with you from week to week, and our sincere prayer and desire is that it be a blessing to you. We appreciate those who take time to let us know that they hear our broadcast. And at the close of today's broadcast, we will be giving you our address And we'd be thankful if you'd take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast.
Once again we come to the house of God to unite in songs of praise. To extol and joy our Redeemer's name, and to tell His works and ways. To that house, O Lord, with rejoicing we come, for we love and we are loved. We will worship Thee in the Bible way, as the evening light does shine.
In the fourth chapter of the book of John, we are told about how Jesus found it necessary to go through Samaria on his return from Judah to Galilee, and he came to Jacob's well, and he sat there while some of the disciples went into the nearby town of Sychar to get something for them to eat. And while Jesus was sitting there alone, here came a woman to draw water. And Jesus strikes up a conversation with her. She was quite surprised that he would speak to her, for as she said, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus saw a soul there that had a need, and he began to tell her about the living water, not that which was drawn out of the well there called Jacob's well, but the water of life that he had to give. And in John 4:19, we begin reading, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Our subject today, worship, what is it and when? According to Webster's Dictionary, the word worship means a reverence or devotion for a deity, religious homage or veneration, a church service or other rite showing this, to show religious devotion or reverence for, adore or venerate as a deity, to engage in worship or perform an act of religious devotion, to offer prayers, attend church services, and so forth. Now, that definition is quite broad, and people could worship almost anything and worship in any way. and it would still be called worship. But you notice in our text of Scripture today that Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there is a restriction put upon the worship that Almighty God accepts. He does not accept just any kind. You notice in the Scripture that I read where Jesus told the woman, you worship you know not what. He didn't say that they didn't worship, but he did say they did not know what they worship. And I'm afraid that's the state of many people in the world today. But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we read in the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul said we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And I'd like to quote some other translations of this verse of Scripture. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Another translation, Phillips Modern English. I beg you, my brethren, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. And then the Revised Standard Version, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then the New International Version says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. The New English Bible says, therefore, my brothers, I implore you, by God's mercy, to offer your very selves to him, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for his acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. And the Jerusalem Bible, think of God's mercy, my brothers, and worship him, I beg you, in a way that is worthy of thinking beings, by offering your living bodies as a holy sacrifice. And so we see from these different translations that our presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to God is a very important way for us to worship. I know we think of, when we speak about worship, we think about a church building and we think about a congregation coming together, but there's a lot more to worship than that. And as Paul has mentioned here in Romans 12 and 1, one of the most important things when it comes to worship is our presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which some of these translations say is your spiritual worship. Now, a man's worship, or a man worships God in spirit, according to Adam Clark, when under the influence of the Holy Ghost, he brings all his affections, appetites, and desires to the throne of God, and he worships him in truth when every purpose and persuasion of his heart, and whenever act of his religious worship is guided and regulated by the Word of God. Now let me read that again, because I consider that this explanation by Clark to be very, very good. A man worships God in spirit when, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he brings all his affections, appetites, and desires to the throne of God, and he worships him in truth when every purpose and passion of his heart and when every act of his religious worship is guided and regulated by the Word of God. Whenever a person worships in the manner that Clark has described here, then he is indeed worshiping God in spirit and in truth. One person has said, we have tended to replace a 24-hour lifestyle with a one-hour event. And he's talking about our need of worshiping God all the time. But he says, we have tended to replace a 24-hour lifestyle of worship, that is, with a one-hour event, speaking about a church service. And of course, a lot of church services do go more than that, but you get the point that he's making. Also, congregational worship is important, but it should be a reflection of the worship that we are engaged in outside of the four walls of the church building. Otherwise, our corporate worship becomes stale and routine. And that's a quote from the same person, Lloyd Martzitz. And this statement is certainly true. Congregational worship is important, but it should be a reflection of the worship that we are engaged in outside of the four walls of the church building. In other words, worship is not confined to a church service. It is not confined to a church building. True worship is something that we experience every day of our life. God is worthy of our worship, not just an hour, hour and a half in a worship service, as we call it, but God is worthy and due our worship 24 hours a day, as it were. And we can worship God by being obedient to His will, obeying His word, living in the Spirit, as Paul said, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit, be vessels for the Spirit of God to dwell in. And we can worship God by reading and studying His word. We can worship God by spending time in prayer, which is very essential. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So there are many ways that we can worship, and we should worship in spirit and in truth in all of our ways. For we want our worship to be acceptable unto God. Now, going back to our text of Scripture, the woman said to Jesus, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Jacob's well was located close to two mountains, and Joshua had gathered the children of Israel there and read to them out of the law of Moses. And if you read Deuteronomy 28, you remember that in the first part, God tells the Israelites how He would bless them if they would obey Him and serve Him and have no other gods. And then beginning with verse 15 on through the end of the chapter, God tells them what curses He would bring upon them if they forsook His worship and served other gods. So the one mountain became known as the Mount of Cursing, and the other mount became known as the Mount of Blessing. And, of course, the Samaritans built a temple there on the mount called the Mount of Blessings. And they went up there. In fact, the last I knew, they still do. They went up there once a year and offered animal sacrifices to God, supposedly, because they only accepted the first five books of the Bible. And so that's what this woman had reference to. Our fathers worship in this mountain. They went up there and made their animal sacrifices in supposed worship to God. And again, I say, Jesus did not dispute her word as far as worship is concerned. I remember reading and seeing pictures in a national magazine years ago of a certain town in India where they caught cobra snakes and kept them up until a certain day, and then on that day they would turn those cobra snakes loose in the streets. And I saw one picture in that article and magazine where one woman was bowing. She had a kind of a platter where she had thrown stuff out to these cobra snakes, and there she was bowing before one of them. And we know of the people in the United States who handle rattlesnakes. Some of them are bit and die as a result, but they call that worship. You have all kinds of worship in the world today. People worship idols, people worship money, people worship their companion, people worship this and they worship that. But remember, Jesus said to this woman, you don't know what you worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So worship is a central aspect of our faith and our life in God. It's not just a worship service in a church building, but it is a central aspect of our faith and our life in God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Christian life, as I have said many times, the Christian life is indeed a life. It's a life that we live. It isn't just a worship service, or it isn't just bowing in a few moments of prayer. The Christian life is a life that is lived, and our worship to Almighty God is to be a daily sacrifice unto God. And remember, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a part of our worship. Worship in our spiritual worship, as these different translations expressed it. Now, Abraham was called of God. He had great faith in God, and he obeyed God. He went out not knowing where he was going, but he obeyed the call of God, and the time came when God's promise to Abraham that he would have an heir by Sarah, his wife, when that came about, after Isaac was born and he was a few years old, God spoke to Abraham to take his son into the land of Moriah and there offer him a sacrifice. And Abraham obeyed God. He arose early in the morning and he journeyed on his way. Not only Abraham and Isaac, but there were servants that were going along also. And when they got to the place where he was to go up the mount, he told his servants, "Now you remain here while I and the son go yonder." And I want you to notice a few words here in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5. "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to God, to you." So Abraham considered his going to the mount to offer his son a sacrifice to God. He considered that worship. "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So our presenting our bodies is a form of worship. But it isn't just our body in the literal sense, but we are to present our all. And I think that's really what Paul was talking about when he said we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. He was talking about presenting our time, our talents, our finances, and our all. If we're really going to worship God, if we're going to be his true servant, we must put all on the altar. If we are a man and are married, then we must put our wife and our children on the altar. If we are a woman, then we must present our husband and our children as a sacrifice to God. And I'm not talking about literally putting them on an altar. I'm talking about consecrating them to God. If we are going to be true worshipers, if we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, then we must present our all to God. And, beloved, God is worthy. God is deserving of all. Yes, God is deserving of all. For God is the one who gives us life and breath, yea, and all things. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. The psalmist said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Now, I realize there are those who come to a house of worship and they sit there and they never make any motion or commotion. And I'm not talking about noise now. Please understand me. I'm not talking about noise. But in a worship service, isn't it proper to say praise the Lord or amen once in a while? And not only in a worship service. You can say that, you know, sometimes when I'm checking out something at a store, and the one that's a checkout asks me, "Well, how are you?" And I say, "Fine, thank the Lord." Yes, I want them to be aware of the fact that I appreciate what God does for me. I'm not trying to make myself an oddball, but I'm expressing thanksgiving to God, for it is in him that we live and move and have our being. People out on the street don't mind taking God's name in vain. You hear cursing and swearing almost everywhere, but where do you hear anyone saying, praise the Lord, or I thank the Lord. Beloved, God is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. And remember, Jesus said, the Father seeketh such. He's looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I sincerely desire to be one of those. Now, give unto the Lord, the psalmist said, the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now that brings to our attention the fact that a sinner cannot really worship God in spirit and in truth. I say that not to offend, but to call your attention to a biblical fact. A sinner cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. Notice what the psalmist said, Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. To be able to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, you must live holy. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So we are to worship God in the beauty of holiness, and we are to live a holy life, a righteous life, a godly life, day by day. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So remember, Jesus said, the Father seeketh such to worship Him as will worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And worship is a full-time job. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit will convey it to hearts. Good will be accomplished. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, we'd be delighted if you'd let us know. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173, our fax number. Now our email address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. And I would remind you that you can download a number of our broadcasts. You can listen to them at any time at your convenience. And you can also read a number of the issues of the Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.